It's just awesome to be here this morning. You'll probably understand the crazy week, and then you come here on Sunday, and it's just like, ah, Lord, take it. This week was gone. It's in the past. So it's nice to be here now and just look forward to, Bible study, to His Word and the encouragement and the love that He pours out on us, right? Today we're going to talk in Timothy. I'm really excited about Timothy because Timothy has a lot in common with me. As a young Christian, just kind of away from the church for a little while, Calvary Chapel kind of welcomed me in. And I had a Paul in Jim Lancaster, and he really kind of took me under his wing. He encouraged me just as Paul does Timothy. So Timothy's real dear to my heart, and it's one of those chapters, the two letters that I always go back to for encouragement, just to lift me up, especially whenever I do have hard weeks, and just trying to find a reason to keep teaching His Word and keep, you know, doing what He's called me to do. It's great encouragement, and I'm going to share that with y'all this morning right after we pray. Yeah. So if y'all join me in prayer. Dear God, I thank You so much for this day. Lord, I thank You so much that You brought us into this place, Father, to give back to You, Father, in praise and worship this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful that I get a chance to just praise You every day, Lord. I'm so thankful that there's music. God, it's just so awesome to give You glory, Father, after You bless us day in and day out. Lord, I just pray over this lesson, God. I just pray that it's encouragement to us, Father, because we have a calling. God, each one of us has a calling, just as Timothy did. Father, and we all need a Paul. We all need somebody to encourage us, to give us strength where we might be discouraged or weak. Father, Father, we need You, God, and we're just afraid to turn to You. Lord, we need that person. We need that fellowship. Like we have this church, Lord, I'm so thankful for this church, Father, and the leadership and the friendships that I have here, and Father, others have here as well, Lord. I just thank You so much for those. Father, that, Lord, it's so much easier to do ministry with people that love one another, just as John was saying. God, I'm so thankful for Your Son, Jesus. God, the reason that we're here, Father, the reason that we dig into Your Word, and the reason we are saved, and the reason that one day we're going to be in heaven with You, God. Father, and all we got to do is believe. Father, on that foundation, Father, is what Timothy based his ministry off of, what these apostles based their ministry off of, Father, and what today's church bases their ministry off of, is that we have a foundation of hope, Father, of love, Father, that all started with You, Father, in that cross, Father, giving Your one and only Son, Father, for us, for the sin that we were supposed to die for. God, You said You were forgiven. Father, that is a foundation that we can be bold upon, that we have power from. And God, I'm just so thankful that that's what we're talking about today. God, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to kick back to that last song real quick. It's Build My Life, right? We were just singing that, I will build my life upon Your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in You alone, and I will not be shaken. So in Timothy right now, Paul is, he's in prison. He's in jail because of what he did. And what did he do? Did he murder somebody? Did he steal something? No. He spoke the gospel. He was bringing the word of God to those who may not have heard it or may be struggling with it and need to hear it. You know, so the Roman government at the time is like, man, if you're not teaching, you know, nothing, you're going to jail pretty much. Like, people were thinking that, you know, if you're not going to go in line with what their beliefs are and what they're thinking, then of course you're going against Caesar. And Paul was never going against Caesar. Paul, you know, believed that he was the government at the time. And, you know, the same conflict Jesus had, that, you know, they arrested him for the same reason, that he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching God to a community that needed to hear God. So while he's in jail, Paul starts writing letters to the people that he's discipled, that he's, you know, prepared for the ministry, that God called to his ministry and put in Paul's way, right? That's kind of how we do. Kind of like Jim with me. It was, you know, Jim was called in the ministry, and as you know now, he's a pastor of a church, but, you know, he was a youth minister here before I got here. And, you know, as a guy that, you know, I knew the Bible and I believed it, but I never thought of myself as a teacher, I needed a lot of push, just like Timothy. Timothy, he got discouraged easy. He was kind of, oh, I'm young. These guys aren't going to listen to me anyways. So, you know, he got, you know, kind of, he withdrew into himself where, you know, the ministry says that we've got to step out in faith, right? So Paul, you know, in prison, he should be thinking of, you know, man, I'm discouraged. I'm in prison. You know, if I was doing time, I know I'd be like staring at a wall going, wow, why am I here? But instead, he's like, all right, well, I got, we're going to read about Onesiphorus. I don't remember how to pronounce his name, but he's one of his disciples as well that he was able to teach, and he's in Ephesus at this time, and he got a chance to, you know, encourage him through letters. We don't see him in the Word, but he talks about him in Timothy and some of his other writings. But he wanted to do the same thing to Timothy, because Timothy had a lot of weight on his shoulders, like, hey, you're going to be preaching in front of a congregation this morning as a youth minister. Oh, wait, no, that's me. So we need encouragement. And, you know, just as, you know, we joined together this morning in prayer as a worship team, my team encouraged me. Sorry, I love my team, these guys up here. So I get emotional, sorry. But it's just so awesome, just the joy of the Lord and just how a group can encourage. So, whew. Composure. All right. So Paul, in case you don't know the full story, Paul met up with Timothy in Acts 16, 1 through 5. So we're going to start there. If y'all will turn with me. Our main focus is going to be 2 Timothy, but yeah, if you've ever taught, then God goes, all right, here's your lesson, but we're going to start over here and then come this way and then bring it in. So that's what we're going to do today. So, Acts 16. I apologize, I'm new school, so I got a Bible on my phone. I like to say new school. If you ask my kids or my youth, I'm not new school by any means. Boom. So Acts 16, verse 1. We all there? Ready? All right, it says, then he came to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by brethren who were Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So Paul took Timothy underneath his wing. And I don't know if y'all knew about the Greek. They focused more on the, you know, Greek gods. They didn't focus on who Christ was. So in order for Paul to help Timothy strengthen his ministry to the Jews, he brought him in and circumcised him and, you know, made him presentable, I guess, so people would listen to him. Because if you're coming to a crowd and, you know, they know your daddy's a Jew, people judge. People are going to shut off. They're not going to listen to you. But with his mom, who believed that firm foundation, you know, in Christ, you know, Timothy was raised up in believing in that foundation. Just as how I'm trying to do with my kids. And I know how, you know, the Davis clan, you know, with Ken and Norma just built them up, you know, in respecting God in that firm foundation, as I know a lot of y'all did with your kids, that it's so much easier to start young in the faith and build on it and build on it and build on it and then go to teach. So Timothy was prepared. So Timothy knew what he was getting into. before he became a disciple of Paul and before he became a minister, he knew that it was going to be a struggle because, you know, his dad was Greek and his mom believed. So there's probably some battles in that household. You know, just as the Lord says that, you know, if there's not an equally yoked marriage, there's going to be struggle in it. But, you know, as the believer, his mom stood by her foundation and taught and raised their kids, you know, in the faith. So Timothy was ready. His mom, and then we're going to read in 1 Timothy that his grandmother had strong faith. So that's where Timothy's coming from. And Paul, ministering in Derbe and Lystra, sees this disciple Timothy and said, hey, you know, God's going to use this guy. And then, you know, God confirmed it, like, hey, grab this guy and bring him with me. I'm sorry, but if you're going to see a kid and be like, hey, I'm going to circumcise you, they're either going to run or they're going to say, okay. So it's just one of those that Paul, you know, you got to have faith. That's what that is. If I'm Timothy, I'm going, all right, God, where are you taking me? Let's go. So Paul's like, all right, let's bring you under my wing. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to show you how this is going, and I'm going to encourage you every step of the way. It brings me to just an example. Y'all like movies? I'm a huge movie guy, and I want to thank Becky Russell for that because she watches so many movies. And, like, used to, I'd watch the corny ones, the Fireproof. The acting's not awesome. Y'all can agree with me there, right? But it's, like, the message behind him and, like, Courageous, you know? A lot of these movies that Kirk Cameron and his production company have, you know, put out that... it's not great acting, but man, the message behind it, it's like, man, it's like if my marriage was on the rocks, I would want that, you know, Love Dare book. You know, it's like I would want to go through ministering to my wife to, you know, build that foundation of God underneath us, right? So, and, you know, Courageous, you know, just being courageous for the Lord, stepping out with it's like, hey, I'm going to band with these group of guys and say, hey, I'm going to live in purity. I'm going to live in... you know, in strength of the Lord. But man, my favorite one that I always cry in is Facing the Giants. Like, I am a huge football dude, and I'm like, man, this is going to be an awesome movie. And like, my favorite part of Facing the Giants is when the coach starts believing. He's like, all right, God, this is going to be my focus. If I lose, it's going to be for your glory. If I win, it's going to be for your glory. And he's trying to betray that to his players. So he's a coach, just like Paul to Timothy is a coach, right? So he's trying to encourage. He's trying to encourage. And one of the strong leaders is a linebacker. And, you know, he's not giving it his all, this linebacker. He's just like, man, I'll come. I'll do what I need to. And then, you know, I'll go goof off with my friends. So I don't know if he was just afraid of standing out or if he was just wanting to fit in. But this player wasn't giving it his all. And this coach knew that this guy had leadership qualities. So one day in practice, you know, they're doing this death crawl. And this big linebacker dude puts this guy on his back on all fours, kind of a bear crawl, uses his hands. But, you know, they usually go to the 10, 15-yard line, right? So it's like, okay, cool, I can do that. So he's like, hey, come over here and I want to see what you can do. So it's just him. All the other players are kind of standing there watching. And this is a time for the coach to be like, hey, I want to show you that you can be a leader. I want to show you that through encouragement, through, you know, us working together, we can do that. But I need a leader. I need a captain, you know. So he's like, all right, let's get on the yard line. I want you to crawl. And the guy's like, oh, I can go to the 20. He's like, I think you can go to the 50. He's like, yeah, I can go to the 50. He's like, I think you can go the whole field pretty much. And the guy's like, I don't know about that. He's like, but I want you to do your absolute best. All right, that's what the coach tells him. I want you to do your absolute best. And in order to do so, he blindfolds him. So he's like, all right. He's like, why are you blindfolding me? Because I don't want you to give up when I know you have more. So it's, you know, the same way Paul's doing the same thing to Timothy. That, you know, Paul's in jail right now and trying to encourage Timothy to keep doing the ministry. Even though Paul's not right beside him, just like on the football field, the coach isn't right in the huddle with him. He needs a leader out on the field, right? So going back to the movie, the biggest part is that, you know, that coach is on the ground just going, you could do it, 5 more yards, 10 more yards, and just encouraging this football player to be more than what he thinks he needs to be. And in the same way, we need that same encouragement, right? We do, because we could give up. It's like, okay, well, I got one of my friends to come to church. All right, cool, I'm good. Let's go ahead and sit down. You know, it's like, but God calls us to be more than that. God calls us to keep going, to keep preaching, to keep ministering to those around us. So in the long run, that dude makes it 100 yards with a 180-pound dude on his back. Tell me that ain't God. It's like through encouragement of his coach, you know, he's like, go, 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 go. And the same thing with Paul and Timothy. Timothy runs the race of endurance, doesn't he? So I don't know how many people have read Timothy, but man, Timothy is awesome for the Lord. Like he goes and he does what he does. And guys, he's not that old. Like he's a spring chicken. And we read about that here in a second too, that he's young and he's afraid that people aren't going to follow his leadership. And in the same way that player, he's the same age as all of his peers. And he's probably afraid. He's probably not sure what's going to happen. But his coach looks him in the face and says, hey, I know you're more than what you're giving me. Will you do it? And guys, we just got to accept. We've got to say, all right, Lord, here I am. Send me. So I love how that parallels our faith and just how the story of Paul and Timothy, you know, are able to do what they do for the ministry. So, yeah. So we're going to kick over to 1 Timothy 1, I think it's 118. Give me just a second. I forgot to put the number in front of the other one. Ian knows what I mean. I accidentally sent him the, what was it, 2 Timothy 8? There's not 8 chapters in Timothy. So, yes, 1 Timothy 1:18. So 1 Timothy 1:18, it just talks about how Paul encourages Timothy, just as that coach encouraged that player. So reading in 18, it says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So out of all that, you know, Paul's encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight, just as, you know, that coach in the show, that Paul's encouraging. And through that first letter of Timothy, he's saying, you got to fight the good fight. You've got to use your faith, having faith and a good conscience, that you've got to push forward. You've got to fight the good warfare. Okay. So another time where he encouraged him was 1 Timothy 4:12. Everybody there? Just a couple pages. So 1 Timothy 4:12. And guys, this is a sermon I use a lot in youth ministry because I do teach youth. They're young. But youth are powerful. Youth are very influential to adults and to kids alike. If they, you know, follow the Lord and, you know, go. You know, that's the biggest thing, that, you know, you are young, but just because you're young doesn't mean God's not going to use you in a powerful way. When I was in high school, just an example, something like I actually met my wife doing this, but we would go, it was See You at the Pole in Burleson, right? It kind of started here and it's now worldwide. But we decided as like three or four group of friends of mine to not just let it be one day. So we stepped out in faith and started doing it every single day. We went out to the flagpole and we prayed over our school. We prayed over, you know, the things that we were going through. And then like we would do worship. But guys, that was so powerful. But by the time I graduated high school, we had people surrounding that flagpole, bringing guitars. We ended up having a Bible study that spawned from that. I guess, is spawn a good word there? That drew from there. A friend of mine invited Heather, and that's how I met Heather, actually. So, 13 years later. Yeah. No, how many years? 16, 17 years now? But it's all based on that firm foundation of the Lord, right? So, you know, just because we were young, we didn't let that stop us. We said, hey, we're going to do more. We're going to follow in faith. And just as Timothy is encouraged right here by Paul, that you can't be, don't let others despise you because you're a youth, that because you are powerful, you go. And guys, I know it seems like some of y'all are older than youth, but guys, some of these guys in the Bible lived to like 500, 600 years old. So all y'all are youth, okay? Y'all are young and y'all are powerful, okay? So verse 12, 1 Timothy 12, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So Paul's encouraging him that just because he's a youth doesn't mean people aren't watching him. People aren't seeing what he's doing for the ministry. And, he goes above and beyond that. He says, but be an example to the believers. So he's not just being an example to those he's teaching to, but as a body, just like, we're here as a body. We've seen Ian grow up through the ministry, starting in youth, and he was a backup singer, and now he's leading for the glory of God. It's like we've seen that throughout. Billy in the youth, I've seen as a little dude, and now he's running the soundboard and he's active, and that's what he's calling us to do. That we need to be an example for believers. So I'm not trying to call any of these guys out, but it's like it's been unbelievable to see these guys grow to what they're doing now and just being, servants for the Lord. So Paul's just trying to give Timothy that same encouragement. It's like, hey, it's like you are encouragement to those around you that believe. You're not just ministering to these guys. These guys beside you are on the front lines and you're encouraging them. It's like you're an example to them. And then he kind of breaks it down in word. People are listening to what he's saying. People are listening to, even if he's not ministering to people, how he talks to his friends and how he talks to, the beggar on the street. It's like believers are listening. And the same way, it's like people that I work with know that I'm a believer. And if I'm on a construction site and I'm just cursing like a sailor and I'm cutting people down, if I'm gossiping, people are going to see that. And if they're a believer, sometimes they're going to look at me and they're either going to encourage me to do better or they're going to be like, that guy ain't a Christian. So Paul's just saying, hey, Timothy, just watch your words. Watch what you're speaking, because the believer is watching. As the guys you're teaching to are watching, but these guys are walking beside you day by day, and they're going to know that you express love. You express the Lord, right? So he goes on and says, in love. So he said word and then in conduct. So how we act, right? So it goes hand in hand with how we talk, that if we're just going to, cut people off in traffic, not saying that it's not always needed, but, you elbow somebody out of the way to get through, the line quicker. I grew up Baptist, so, it's potluck meals a lot. You never saw the pastor take an elbow to the lady next to him and say, hey, me first. But he's saying that in conduct, that we want to be loving in what we do. So, Paul's going, all right, so how you act and how you talk needs to be of the Lord, right? So, and then in spirit. So that spirit is our strength, right? That's where we gain our love from the Lord, our action, our power, our strength, our wisdom. We get it from the spirit. So he's saying, be an example in that means, that you're not always trying to do it of yourself, that you're of the Lord, that you're praying to the Lord, that you're reading, that you're growing the same time that you're teaching, because that's going to be an example for those believers around you. So, and then he says, in spirit, in faith, so taking that next step, saying, hey, be an example in faith. Don't always stay in your little bubble. Don't always stay in your comfort zone, that there's people out of that comfort zone that need to hear the Lord. And, you're going to encourage those believers to step out of their comfort zone. And it's all because of that calling that he's saying, that, laying on the hands of the eldership, that, you have a gift Don't neglect it. And each one of us has a gift. Every single one of us. If it's, you know, just, you know, doing your quiet time, sitting at a lunch table, all the way to preaching a sermon. You have a gift. It's like God gave you that. That it's like, it doesn't seem like much just praying over your meal in the lunchroom, but to somebody else, to another believer or to a non-believer, that is a gift. You have the courage to not just sit there and watch Netflix while you eat, that you're there to pray over your meal and maybe you're reading your Bible, right? So he's just saying that be an example, right? So step out in faith and in purity. Nowadays, it's so easy to not be pure with, you know, especially gentlemen. I know it's a struggle, especially in Texas when it's hot. It's just like, wow, if that was my daughter walking out in public, I would whoop her and tell her to go put a sweater on. It's difficult nowadays because everybody's growing numb to what they wear and what they, you know, how they act and talk and social media. We've got to put hedges around us as Christians because, you know, purity is a big part of being a Christian because people notice that. People notice if you're going to, you know, different places to, yeah, or what you're reading, or, you know, if you're married, your husband, your wife is, you know, if you're saying something or looking at something, then, you know, that's not staying in purity. And how much of that destroys, you know, instead of builds up. So we got to live in purity. And that's an encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy that, you know, he was a young guy, you know, and we all know young guys, puberty and all that. It's like it's easy to give in to impure thoughts and maybe it's impure and impure actions. But he's saying we're called above that, that in order to minister for the Lord, it's like we've got to hold ourselves accountable. And it, right here, it's all because, you know, an example to the believers, you know, so we're walking hand in hand. So, yeah, be an encouragement. So till I come and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So Paul's saying he's going to come back and, you know, help him along. But before I come back, I need you to stick by your faith, by these, you know, encouragements, these examples for other believers. Because Paul at this time is huge. Like he's been teaching in all over Asia and people know of him. And they seek after his ministry for the Lord because of how passionate Paul was for the ministry. So Paul's trying to encourage Timothy to be that passionate for the ministry, that even though he's young, he doesn't have to lax any, that he doesn't have to compare himself to Paul, but he also needs to, you know, go out, just go and be an example. So now to kick over to 2 Timothy. Now that we know who Timothy is and how Paul is encouraging, we're going to dig into today's lesson. We're in 2 Timothy 1, 8. All right. So in all this encouragement in 1 Timothy, in the first letter, Timothy is now active in the ministry, okay? He's taking Timothy's encouragement, and if you keep reading in Timothy, you know, Paul keeps encouraging him, and Timothy keeps doing what the will of the Lord is. And, you know, Paul writes about how he's encouraged in prison hearing what Timothy's doing in the ministry. So whenever we kick over here to 2 Timothy, Timothy's growing, but he's also still discouraged and, you know, he keeps kind of reverting to, am I good enough for this? And because Paul's in prison, so a lot of the people that believed in the gospel, that were seeking, you know, the Lord kind of took a step back because Paul's in prison and they, you know, might be ashamed of him or his ministry because he's in prison. But at this time, you know, Timothy's trying to teach to the same people in Asia that Paul was, while they're discouraged and ashamed of what Paul did. But Paul's like, I'm not ashamed for what I did. I did exactly what God called me to do. And so Paul's trying to keep Timothy teaching that it's not about Paul as a person. It's about God the Father and his ministry. So in 8, it says, therefore, we have a therefore there. So we're actually going to kick back. I was going to start in 6, but there's a therefore there as well. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll start from the beginning. So We're going to actually start in 2 Timothy 1, where Paul, you know, starts this letter, and then we'll focus on 8. So, all right, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Man, just imagine if we spoke like that today, how encouraging that would be. Like if we started off a letter or an email instead of just like, to whom it may concern, or, you know, Joe. it would be so encouraging as believers if we started it in encouragement, in, you know, love, just pouring out that love. It's like, Joe, my beloved father. You know, it's like, I greet you and I pray for you in grace and peace and mercy. You know, it's like, just how encouraging would that be if you have to email somebody daily or have to, you know, just write people or maybe even call them on the phone. Just imagine starting your phone conversation with, hey, I've been praying for you this week. I pray you're doing all right. Hey, now to the point of what I called you for. Right? That'd be so encouraging. And, you know, I think we should all talk like that more. But Paul started his letter to Timothy just of great encouragement of, hey, I'm an apostle of Jesus. An apostle, if you didn't know, is a disciple that is actually using the word of God. He's actually teaching it, okay? So Jesus Christ, by the will of God, so he's saying, hey, I'm talking to you because God told me to. So, you know, it was God's will, not my own, to just keep pushing you, to keep pressuring you. Just because if we put our faith in men, then men fail, right? So he's trying to say that he gets his will from God and his love from God and the Spirit from God to push Timothy forward, to talk to him and to write this letter. So that right there is an encouragement alone, just saying, hey, I and the Lord am encouraging you through the Lord to push you, right? So to Timothy, a beloved son, he's saying that you're my son. I love you, right? That's what that means. So, and grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's writing this letter through God the Father. So in 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So he's making known that faith, like I was talking about earlier, that, you know, in when he first met Timothy, he knew of his mother, and, you know, that his mother was a believer, that she had faith in God. And he finds joy in knowing that's that foundation that Timothy is teaching on. So he's saying, you know, when I can call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. So Paul's in prison for a while, and, you know, it brings him joy to know that Timothy's on the front lines, that he has that faith to keep doing God's will, even though his, you know, my gym, you know, the person that pushes me is in jail. He's still there to encourage him. He's still cries for him. You know, he still prays for him, just as he says, I remember you in my prayers night and day. So Paul is encouraging him through the faith as well, just as we're supposed to be doing. You know, we're supposed to pray for our brothers and sisters, like our pastor and those guys working in Peru for, you know, just as John did with the youth. You know, it's like, I'm taking Elisha and Chris this year as leaders. They're not actually youth. So I'm encouraging them through prayer day and night that they take what they learn as leaders at camp and they use it in, you know, their workplace, the military, you know, as they keep moving forward in life, that it's like God has a plan for them, just as y'all guys, that God has a plan for each one of you, that I pray for my church family daily because each one of us goes to a different job, to a different home, and we're all a part of God's family. We're all a part of that embrace that God has us. So Paul's trying to encourage Timothy, is saying, even though I'm not there, I'm there. It's like through the Lord, I am with you on those lines. I cry for you, you know, just hearing about what's going on. And it's like he's mindful of his tears. And then he prays for him night and day. So he's constantly praying. So even though he's not there, his prayers are guiding and pushing him. So In 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So that right there is the therefore before the first therefore that I said. Okay. So Paul's like, hey, dude, it's like there is no reason to be afraid. There is no reason to be discouraged because God didn't give you a spirit of fear. And man, that is so encouraging to me because, you know, it's like so often it's like when I first started youth ministry here, I had one youth and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do here? But God said, hey, dude, it's not about the number. It's about the heart. And, you know, we are to minister to the heart of those around us. It doesn't matter how many people we have. It doesn't matter who it is. That God calls us each individually to step out in faith and minister and to talk. And in 7, it's like, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he gave us power through the Holy Spirit. If we pray daily to have the Holy Spirit empower us, guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to empower us, right? That's why the Holy Spirit's here. When Jesus ascended, he left the Spirit here for us to go, to do his will. Because Christ was powerful, wasn't he? It's like we read throughout the New Testament of, you know, God working through Christ, through, you know, miracles, through preaching to those people that might not have ever heard it, through healing. And we have that same power if we just rely on the Holy Spirit. And that's just so awesome to me that, you know, I go into a workplace and I could choose to go into the workplace powerful or weak. And guys, I start my day off every morning with prayer and ask him to take away my weakness, to take away my sin, to take away that stuff that keeps getting in the way of that power, and to fill up that hole with his Holy Spirit. And guys, I encourage you to do the same thing because that's what God wants us to do. That's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. And guys, if we are rooted in power, we can do anything. We can. And man, I'm so excited for that. And then he also says that the power of love, he gives us the spirit of love. So even though we may not love our neighbors, you know, sometimes we get irritated with them, that if we're in the Spirit's going to be our love for us, right? That he's going to empower us to be that love to them. Just as Christ was love to others. He is our example, right? It's like God loved us so much that he gave us Christ. So God is our example. That through that same love, we are to love. We are to take that love. We are to ask for that love so we can pour out that love. So Paul's encouraged him to take that spirit of power and of love and then a sound mind. So he's saying, hey, calm down. Don't be discouraged. It's like you are here because of the laying on of hands, that faith that was poured out through the ages, through your mother and grandmother just encouraging you, and now of the elders of the church and elders of the faith encouraging you. It's like you can be of sound mind. You can stop instead of doing anything rash or speaking out of context or, you know, because at this time there's a lot of false prophets and, you know, they're going against Timothy because of Paul being in jail. So they're thinking that Paul's ministry is null and void just because he went to jail. And Timothy is prime example that it's not, that it is never about Paul, that Paul was about God and so is Timothy. So his ministry is through the Lord, not through Paul. So he's saying, hey, calm your mind. Don't be discouraged just because other people aren't listening. Keep to your guns. Keep talking. Keep fighting the good fight. You know, that's his letters over and over and over. Keep fighting the good fight. And just, we're the same way. We've got to keep fighting the good fight. We're going to have battles where we lose. We are. And it's a struggle to get back up and keep pushing forward, but that's why we rely on God's power, not our own, because we are weak. And where we are weak, he is strong. So, yep. So, our main chapter now. So, 2 Timothy 1:8, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So, anybody know what ashamed is? I looked it up just so I kind of knew. It's reluctant to do something through fear of embarrassment or humiliation. So he's saying, don't stop teaching, Timothy, just because you're discouraged, just because you're standoffish, but keep going. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me in prison, because I know why I'm here, is what Paul's saying. I know why I'm in prison. I didn't murder anybody. I didn't steal anything. I'm here because I believed in God, and God told me to do his will and his purpose, and I did it. And he's in there because of that, and he knows that God is going to bless him for it, right? It's constant. He's going to, you know, lift us up. Oh, sorry about that. And, you know, that same thing that he told Timothy, he believed, and he did. You know, back there in 2 Timothy 1, he said, for his spirit is not fear. So, not be ashamed, right? So, the act of, you know, reluctant to do something through fear of embarrassment or humiliation. So, he didn't give us the spirit of fear. And the same thing, Paul understood that. He didn't give me the spirit of fear. Because, yeah, Paul was probably afraid that the Roman government was going to throw him in jail. How many times did the disciples, you know, evade arrest doing the ministry? How many times did Jesus evade arrest doing ministry? It's like, we can't be afraid of the world consequence for a heavenly action. It's kind of how I read it. That, yeah, we can be in jail. We can be persecuted. How many martyrs do we read about? One of my favorite books on the planet was D.C. Talk's Voice of the Martyrs. Daniel Russell, my best friend, me and him used to read it all the time. Like, it was one of our first books that, yeah, I didn't like to read. So to read this, to hear different martyrs' point of view, like what they went through to share the gospel, to live the gospel. And guys, I guarantee they were afraid. But we can't put our fear in the way of the Lord's will. We can't. And it just kind of goes right here that, you know, he's not ashamed. Paul's saying in, where are we at? In 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So he knows he's going to suffer. Just as us, we're going to go through storms. We're going to go through suffering. We're going to go through turmoil. You know, in this country, we don't have a lot of, you know, beatdowns because we have religious freedom. But man, there's Christians all over the world that are bringing the gospel to people that they can get thrown in jail. Like my friend Kelly, you know, she was in China, and, you know, one of her friends, you know, I'm praying for, is going through religious persecution over there because they are a believer. And man, I'm praying like hardcore. I'm like, man, they're doing the God's will over there in a country that's like, no, you ain't doing that. It's like, I will kick you out of my country. I will destroy your lifestyle. I will, you know, throw you in jail. But guys, we can't be afraid of that. Paul's saying, Timothy, you can't be afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. I'm in jail and still ministering to you. I'm still encouraging you, where I could just be wallowing in my self-pity. But he's like, man, there is hope in the Lord. There is not fear. There's nothing to be ashamed of for doing God's will. That he's saying, take that power, that spirit that I give you, and do what the Lord's telling you to do. So in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I apologize. It is Mark 8, 34. Paul talks about just encouraging Timothy a little bit more. So Mark 8, 34. It talks about not being ashamed and why we should not be ashamed. This is Jesus talking. He's saying, this is how you're supposed to follow me. All right? So everybody there, we're in Mark 8, 34. I apologize. Mark 8, 34. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So Jesus is encouraging his disciples. He's encouraging this generation that, guys, you are going to suffer. But you got to bear that cross. That I'm going to bear that cross. You know, as Christ, he's going to bear that cross, right? I believe in this part, he's already. No, this is right after he predicted his own death and resurrection. So Jesus knew it was coming. That Jesus was, you know, he was aware that he was going to have to die for his faith, for God, you know, to build up this foundation, right, of the gospel. So we can hop back over there. And he began in 31, he said, and begun to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So Jesus is already aware that he was going to have to take his cross and die on the cross for us whenever he's saying this, that he's trying to encourage his disciples at that time, that, you know, he's just talked to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you're not doing the will of God, you're doing the will of man. And man is fearful, right? It's like we're afraid to do something that's going to put us in prison or get us killed. Yeah, it's true. So in God's will, we've got to have that power in the Spirit. You know, in 34, whoever desires to come after me. That desires is a big word there, because a desire is more than just, you know, taking action. It's, you've got to have your entire being willing to take that cross, to move forward for God, no matter the consequence of this world. That for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. So whoever wants to save his life through Christ is going to have to be willing to lose it. Just as Paul in that prison, he was willing to do what it took to take the gospel to those places in Asia that God told him to take it. And guys, God has that same push for us, that we have to be willing to take the gospel to our houses, to our workplaces, to those around us, anywhere we go. Because that's what God's will for our lives is. It is. That we have a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. So Paul just keeps encouraging Timothy. And in the same way, you know, Ken is up here week in and week out encouraging you, us as a body. And our teachers are encouraging them. But guys, who are you encouraging? That's a big, big deal there. Who are you encouraging? Because we're a Paul to somebody, right? We are. Like, as a youth minister, I'm a Paul to a couple of somebodies. But we all have somebody in our family that doesn't know him, that needs to hear the gospel. We have somebody that we work with that needs to hear the gospel. And guys, with that power and with that love and with that sound mind that God gives us, if we desire to ask for it, he gives it to us, we can accomplish it, right? So, and then he ends with, in those verses back in 2 Timothy. Where'd I go? And he says, "For I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed to him until that day." So, through our commitment to God, and through our faith that he's going to come back that day, right? He's going to come back for us. It's said over in the Bible. And I believe it. It's my faith that he will be back. And if he doesn't come back beforehand, I have a home waiting for me in heaven. So do you. If you believe, if we believe, if we seek after him and do his will, man, we're going to have crown upon crown. And guys, I'm so encouraged by just what Paul says to Timothy, that guys, don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful that he has us. So I'm going to end with just some encouragement for y'all guys in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their parts he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinners appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." So guys, don't be ashamed. Because guys, I don't want us to get to heaven and not be ashamed, but we leave somebody else here that didn't know. Right? We are called to share the ministry. To share the gospel, not the ministry. To share the gospel. We are called to tell people that Jesus Christ came and saved them. That we were dead. We were dead in our sin. And I can go through the whole Roman road, but most of us know it. That for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we weren't going to have a place in heaven. But through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, through his resurrection and preparing a place for us, why would you prepare a place for us if we're not going to go? Right? It says it in the Word. But guys, I don't want to show up in a house and have an empty house. He has a mansion. Let's fill it up. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you so much for your encouragement. God, that, Lord, through you, through your Spirit, we have power. Through your Spirit, we have love. Through your Spirit, we can take that step in faith to do your will. God, because each one of us is called. Father, you are so amazing. I thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and that sacrifice on the cross to save us, each individual one of us. God, I pray that we take that mission and we do it. Father, just in that movie that I mentioned at the beginning, Lord, that player at the end of that movie was willing to take four downs and stop them from getting in the end zone. Not because of his own will, because he was tired, he was weak, he was ready to be done. But God, it was because of your will. God, because it was the strength that that coach was pouring in him day in and day out. God, just as our pastor does to us. Father, the encouragement that he pours out week in and week out. The Lord, that encouragement that if we seek after your word daily, that you give us. Father, we can save many. We can fill the house, God. Lord, I just pray this morning as the worship team comes back up, Lord, as as we just sing to you and praise you, God, if there's anything that we're ashamed of, that, Father, that we think is getting in the way of that ministry that you call us towards, I pray that we come down to this altar and we just give it to you, or we sit in our seats and give it to you, Lord. Father, that, Lord, we don't have to hang on to it. God, you ask us to give it to you. Father, that you can, Father, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. If we're already full with regret and full with, Lord, just fear, then you can't fill us up. There's no place for it, God. Lord, let us desire you enough to get rid of that and let you fill us up with your Spirit, God. Lord, you are awesome. I thank you so much. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.